Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Chad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend's edition. And boy, oh boy, we have a lot to talk about as this was another very interesting week, especially on the back of that inflation data and some of those moves that we were seeing in precious metals and actually a wide range of markets for us to cover here. We are going to, again, focus on all of these topics, but I do want to just remind everybody that you should go back to our website throughout the week. That is kereport.com and listen to all of the market commentaries and a lot of company updates that we recorded, especially now with a bit more interest coming back into the resource sector and resource stocks. Some of these stocks are starting to finally move off of good results, and that's what we keep on trying to share with everybody. That being said, we're kicking off the show with Mike Larson. He is the editor of the Safe Money Report. And Mike, we're going to start off with inflation because we're recording this late in the day on Wednesday. We had the inflation data that came out earlier today, and quite frankly, inflation is hitting 30-year highs. I know you even have an addendum that says it's actually a longer term that we have seen this kind of inflation, but we saw CPI over 6%, 6.2%. The core rate, 4.6%. This is flying in the face of all those transitory comments that we had from the Fed. And quite frankly, all those people that said, oh, inflation's not going to last that long. Inflation is sticking around. That being said, we're also still seeing some pretty good growth for the economy. Start us off with your takeaway from the recent inflation data that continues to exceed estimates.
Sure. I mean, I guess I'd start off by saying some of the forecasting, especially at the Fed on this inflation front, has been as atrocious as we saw in the mid-2000s when they were talking about, you know, their views on the housing bubble. If you look at what they've been saying about inflation for many, many months now, they've been wrong, dead wrong. I don't know how you want to call it. But these numbers have been much worse than expected. They've been more persistent than expected. And they clearly show that the economy coming out of the COVID recovery had so much fiscal stimulus thrown at it, so much monetary stimulus thrown at it during the depths of the, you know, the depths of the crisis. But instead of gradually weaning the economy off of that as the economy improved and we came out of the worst of the pandemic, what did they do? They kept the, you know, the foot not on the gas pedal, you know, not just to the baseboards, but all the way through the car into the road beneath. So what you've seen happen in this environment of dramatic excess liquidity and enormous amounts of fiscal stimulus being thrown at the market is inflation, the likes of which officially at 6.2% is the worst we've had since 1990. But here, you know, when you look at what happened in 1990, you know, what happened late that year, that's when Iraq invaded Kuwait. And then a few months later, we had Gulf War I. So if you're willing to be an apologist, like a lot of these people trotted out to talk about the Fed today and say, oh, this is supply side only. It's not the Fed's fault. Once these supply bottlenecks will be fixed, you know, inflation's going to go away. And you say it's a one-off transitory thing. Well, then certainly you have to go back and say, you know, 30 years ago, it was a one-off transitory thing. I mean, it was a war, right? So if you exclude the spike in 1990, this actually becomes the worst inflation figures we've seen all the way since 1982, when the economy was, you know, and inflation was coming down from the double-digit economy-crushing interest rates that Volcker had to put in place to get rid of the inflation we had in the 1970s and early 80s. So long story short, it's really more like the worst inflation data in 39 years, and you have sort of these deer-in-headlights policymakers who not only got this whole thing completely wrong, but don't know what to do about it. I mean, you have a situation now where if you look at a 6.2% inflation rate, you compare that to a federal funds rate of, you know, a range of 0 to 0.25%, or if you look at the, you know, the 10-year treasury or 30-year treasury around 1.5% and 2% respectively, just under those levels, you know, you're talking about real interest rates, inflation-adjusted interest rates that are the most negative they've ever been or the most negative they've been since the early 1980s, depending on what measure you look at. That is extraordinarily loose monetary policy, an extraordinarily loose policy, even as the Fed is now finally talking about starting to taper things back. Again, just on a real interest rate level, we've almost never been this negative. So what does that mean? That leads to rampant asset market speculation. I mean, you know, we've had 20%+ gains in real estate prices in some parts of the country. We've had the stock market on fire, you know, up until this week, up about 26% year to date for the S&P. You've got all these idiotic companies coming public and people finding buyers for it. You know, we're trading dog coins, up 30,000% from a year earlier and stuff like that. I mean, there's all this excess liquidity that's really led to asset market bubbles. And now from the inflation data, you're seeing a lot of that spill over. So it's really an environment where the policymakers have been dead wrong. The policy itself has been dead wrong for what's been going on. And now it's a kind of everybody's staring around like, how are we going to get out of this? You know, what do we do? And I think if you look at the bond market, what it's telling you, long-term interest rates, if you talk about the 30-year U.S. Treasury bond, it actually peaked back in March, which you think that's crazy. How can, with these terrible inflation numbers, how are our long-term U.S. bonds not getting crushed? Even recently, we just tested that 1.8% level before bouncing sharply off of it after a lousy Treasury bond auction. Why is that happening, and why is the yield curve flattening, meaning short-term interest rates are going up much faster than long-term interest rates? Because the bond market knows that from a political standpoint, from a real politic, the Fed can't sit on its hands anymore. They can't just sit there, whatever, don't answer the phone when the Biden administration calls and says, what the heck are you doing? You're killing me here. They can't sit by and look at this kind of inflation data and put a straight face, go in front of a room full of reporters and say, oh, we totally expected this. This is nothing. And I don't care if it's a Zoom room full of reporters. That's how they're doing it now. You add it all together, and you've got a Fed that's kind of trapped. You've got an inflation situation which is, really crushing real earnings and real income. I mean, you put your money in a bank getting a CD that pays you, 20 basis points or something, and inflation 620 basis points, you lose 6% of your money in a one-year CD just doing nothing. I mean, that's why this environment is so crazy, and it really is going to lead to some fireworks, I think.
Yeah, Mike, if you think back to what the Fed's messaging was, to your point, they were just cheering inflation on. We got to get it to 2%. Hey, you know what? It's a little bit over 2%, but we want it to run a little hotter. Well, great, guys, you've now tripled it. Now it's at 6% and rising. So there's a point now where they're going to hit a fork in the road, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, Mike. When they start tapering like they have, and we get 3 to 4 months into this, and they start pulling back their bond buying, but everybody sees inflation still taking off, there's a point they're going to have to address the rate hikes. And do you think there's a market realization now that there's really no way mathematically they could normalize rates and get interest rates even close to 5 or 6%? Even if inflation was to drop off next year, how could they ever even get it close? Do you think that realization is setting in?
You have kind of this fantasy land, progressive, extreme thinking when it comes to monetary policy and fiscal policy that, let's help the little person by getting them big wage increases by keeping policy really, really loose. Okay, well, wages have gone up quite a bit, 3-4%, depending on what measure you look at. But what they don't tell you is, hey, okay, you got a 4% raise, but your cost of living went up 6%. Guess what? You just lost 2% in real terms. So this whole progressive idea that we're going to just keep policy super loose, we're not going to care about bubbles, we're not going to care about out-of-control asset markets, stupid risk-taking on Wall Street, and, real-world inflation because we're just going to focus on employment, it's silly. And, who's getting hurt by this? Are you helping that person, the lower to middle-income person, when they can't afford a house, they can't afford college, they can't afford medical insurance, they can't afford groceries? I mean, how are you really doing anybody a favor in the real world by ignoring this kind of inflation and just saying, oh, this policy is great? So I think that's why I say you're going to have to see policy react a lot more. And I think that's what the bond market's going to sniff out. And that's what I think we're going to see. We're going to see the yield curve get crushed because people are going to realize, and we already have seen it, frankly, but it's going to happen even further, is people are going to realize, you can't sit there with a straight face say maybe someday in 2023 we're going to raise interest rates because, oops, right now your cost of living is the worst in 39 years. I mean, that is an impossible intellectual position to take. It's an impossible political position to take.
All right, Mike, we have to wrap up this first segment, but hey, the first time we are seeing some of this data in over 30 years really does need to change the mentality of a lot of investors, I think. Something we'll get into in the next segment. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Mike Larson.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Colin Economics Report. We'll be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So, this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Mike Larson. Now, Mike, just one more point on this whole inflation narrative, which has been driving the markets. big picture, when it comes to this higher inflation data, I've been hearing the reasons for why inflation should be spiking for years, over a decade now. Low interest rates, easy money policy from central banks. But it's just now that we're finally starting to see this inflation, and it is coming right after these COVID lockdowns. And clearly everyone was tied up at home and the government was giving everybody money. And now it seems like people are out there spending that money and in a way not even arguing about some of these higher prices, or at least they're still out there buying products. Why now? What has changed so much in just the last year compared to the last over a decade that we are seeing this higher inflation?
Well, what did we see throughout the, you know, the mid 2000 or the 2010s? We saw rampant inflation. We just saw it in the asset market. We saw asset inflation, you know, stocks, bonds, risky bonds, real estate to some degree. I mean, it was happening. It's just in the last couple of decades, a lot more of the inflation out there has been money going into non-productive and things like asset speculation and asset price rising because you're cutting the discount rate that future cash flows are valued at. You know, you cut interest rates further and further and you buy more and more bonds, which helps lower interest rates. What happens? You know, you value assets that generate income at a higher price today because you're discounting the future income you're going to get. It's just the way the math works, right? So we saw rampant asset inflation, you know, in the stock market again and housing to some degree and so on. You can look at things like household net worth relative to income, relative to, you know, other measures of things like GDP. Those ratios got way, way out of whack even before anybody heard of COVID. And now you've got a situation where on top of that sort of monetary stuff that always tends to go into assets or has in the last couple of decades, you throw in enormous amounts of fiscal aid at it. And, you know, you've had a lot of policies that have kind of made things worse, policies that, you know, some were, yes, disease-driven, you know, necessities. You've got to shut down various things. You've got to be more careful and have, you know, less capacity and things like that. You know, but a lot of that, that's only part of the story. Part of the rest of it is just, again, keeping easy policy in place for too long, you know, and on top of that, having some of these supply things, on top of that, having trillions of fiscal being thrown at the economy, on top of trillions of monetary, and that's been the difference here, right? But again, you know, longer term, why do I think that the long end of the bond market, why do you think there's nowhere near the yields we saw in the early 80s? I mean, shoot, a 30-year bond was going for 14, 15% in the early 80s in the U.S. You know, now, even after the sell-off late this week on the lousy bond auction, you're still talking about around 2% or a little bit less. That's because of the things we've talked about before, right? We have so much debt piled on top of the U.S. economy. We have, you know, issues like demographics, lower birth rates, less immigration. We have structural issues that make the economy less productive and so on. And all of that results in basically a lower long-term growth rate potential and an impossibility, an economy that can't handle high interest rates. I mean, shoot, if you shocked interest rates to 15% now with the trillions and trillions and trillions of more debt we have on the U.S. economy than we had in 1981 or 82, it'd be economic Armageddon. So even despite this lousy inflation news, the Fed's kind of trapped. It's going to probably have to raise interest rates, but it's not going to get them anywhere near what we saw in the past. It's going to crush the economy, and especially things like house prices and asset values if it goes too far. So you have a small group of policymakers that are truly caught between a rock and a hard place, and it's a different environment than they faced in a long, long time. You know, as an investor, again, you know, the things that I've talked about, reasonable dividend yield paying stocks, companies that have some, you know, benefit from inflation, obviously gold and silver. I mean, you know, we talked for the last few months. It's like, gosh, you know, when is you stare at gold, you stare at miners, you're like, God, what are they going to get off the mat? But the funny thing is gold itself made its, you know, in the futures market, made a low back in March. It tagged it two more times, but it never really undercut that. Now here we are at a 5-6 month high. What's finally happening? People are putting two and two together. In this policy environment, I mean, why wouldn't you own precious metals for protection? Why wouldn't you own them for profit potential? You know, sort of my bull market thesis and my belief that it was just a longer term correction never really faded. And I certainly don't have any reason to change that opinion now.
Yeah, Mike, I was going to ask you about the move in precious metals just today on Wednesday where, you know, it broke above that key resistance at 1840 that everybody was watching. Looks like it's going to close the market above that. But is this the beginning of a sustained move, do you think, where more people, more generalists are coming in? Because another strange thing that happened today was that the U.S. dollar started going up even higher, almost to a breakout level. It seemed like a run into the safe havens, and those people run into the safe havens only when they get a little rattled and the markets were selling off at the same time. Do you think this is the beginning of a more sustainable move into the safe havens, in particular the precious metals?
You know, I think that you've got safe haven buying that should be part of this. You've got the more deeply negative interest rates that should be a part of the factors behind gold. You've got, obviously, we haven't seen a lot of supply coming to the market because it's been a muted environment for investing in mines and things like that. So you roll it all together, and I think you've got a lot of catalysts for this to be a notable and sustainable and extendable breakout. You know, we're going to have to see how gold behaves at these levels. I'd like to see 1850, 1860, maybe even 1870, and hold it there to kind of signal that a true sustainable next leg up is here. But yeah, I mean, if you look at all these factors, I don't see any reason why gold can take out its highs that we had back at the peak of the bull market many, many months back, 2000, 2100, that kind of area.
How does this translate into the U.S. equity markets? Because look, the U.S. equity markets, even as you said and spot on that the inflation was in the markets are still right around all-time highs. So does this environment also support the general melt-up in markets that we've seen?
You know, that's going to be real tricky. We're in a very strong seasonal time of year. But if the Fed is forced to really act and really crack down, that's going to lead to turbulence. I still think, again, it's so far behind the curve. We're so far from a tight money environment that it's not, it shouldn't be any like disastrous thing. I'm not expecting the market to crash or something, but it's potential for a decent correction if the Fed's hand is forced in the next couple of months could happen. But I think that ultimately this isn't the kind of environment this early in the Fed cycle that you're going to want to be aggressively selling stocks. Once the yield curve inverts, once the Fed's really forced to go pretty far, once you have other credit issues popping up, that's later in every interest rate cycle in the past. I don't think that's going to be different here. So I don't think you really want to get aggressively short here or dump a bunch of stocks. But I do think you've got to be wary of what's going on in the interest rate market. Just keep it in the back of your mind.
So, Mike, as we progress through the last, let's say, month and a half of 2021, what's going to be important to watch? Is it data? Is it markets? Is it any certain sector? What are you going to have your eye on?
I think you got to keep your eye on the bond market very closely. Again, watch that curve, see if it's flattening dramatically. I mean, right now it seems to be flattening when rates go up, and it seems to be flattening when rates go down. So you're getting, on days when they go down, the long end goes down more than the short end. On days when rates go up, the long end goes up less than the short end. As that process continues, if it does, as I expect, again, that's something you got to keep in the back of your mind.
All right, perfect. Always enjoyable chatting with you here, Mike. Thanks for kicking off the show with us. Mike, great chatting with you. As always, buddy, thank you for taking some time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Take care.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
U.S. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Former top advisor to then-President Trump, Steve Bannon, now expected to turn himself in to authorities on Monday after being indicted for contempt of Congress. Bannon refusing to honor a subpoena to testify before the House committee that's investigating the January Capitol attack. He's also been refusing to turn over some related documents. World leaders at the climate summit in Scotland are agreeing to phase out coal and end subsidies for fossil fuels. The latest draft of the agreement that's to come out of the summit was published today, and it's urging countries to rapidly increase the use of clean power. As another SpaceX mission begins this morning, a Swiss photographer has released a photo showing a donut-looking UFO that he says was in the same shot as the re-entry of the last SpaceX Endeavour capsule back on the 8th of November. And this is USA Radio News. Success for the Free Britney movement, as Britney Spears is free of that conservatorship that has guided her life for the past 13 years. The pop star posting a video on Instagram following a judge's ruling yesterday that ended that court-ordered conservatorship that left her father in charge of her affairs. Britney Spears' lawyer telling reporters after the ruling came down that it was, of course, a very monumental day in the life of Britney Spears.
It's also a somber day for me, for Britney, and I think for a lot of us who have been following conservatorships and how they operate. This conservatorship was corrupted by James P. Spears.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
An important message from Byram Healthcare. If you live with diabetes, you know how challenging and painful it can be to manage your blood sugar. With private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, that can all change. If you test your blood sugar 4 or more times a day and inject insulin 3 or more times a day, you may qualify to receive at little or no cost, less copays and deductibles, a continuous glucose monitor, providing blood sugar readings with no uncomfortable finger sticks. That alerts you in real time to potential spikes with your blood sugar levels. Byram Healthcare is a leading U.S. provider of continuous glucose monitors. We carry most major brands and will work with your insurance to get your benefits approved. So if you have diabetes, call a U.S.-based Byram Healthcare specialist now and see if you qualify.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Mike Larson. In these next two segments, we are going to focus almost exclusively on the resource sector, and in terms of the resource sector, almost exclusively on the precious metals. We are chatting with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Now, Jeff, look, there's no denying that precious metals have garnered at least a little bit more of or intention out of investors on the back of that Fed statement, but then also really on the back of some of this higher inflation data. We're going to cover the broad aspects of the market, and then in the final segment of this weekend show, we're going to dive a bit more into some of the news, specifically out of some of the larger stocks and some of those M&A transactions we've seen on what has consistently been Monday over the last few weeks. Jeff, I want to recap a recent missive you sent out to everyone subscribed to the email list at the CPM Group, and that deals with gold and silver demand. Just simply on the demand side of things, please provide an update for us. What are you seeing in terms of investment demand for precious metals now?
Yeah, it's interesting because we're seeing pretty strong demand for physical gold and silver from investors. Coin sales, which are longer-term investors who buy based on the state of the world, the economy, political things, their own financial. Coin sales are up sharply this year. Small bars are up sharply this year. You're seeing very strong investment demand. And you're seeing a little bit of strange stuff like between the ETFs and the coin demand, in that, you know, the coin buyers are buying when the price is low, and some of the ETF guys who are probably more shorter term trading oriented people, they'll buy low and then they'll sell high, but the coin people don't sell when it gets high. So, you know, you're seeing pretty strong demand for gold and silver on the part of investors. It was very high last year. Gold and silver investment demand probably doubled from 2019 to 2020. And what we're seeing this year is they're not doubling again, but they're staying very high. And we expect that to continue now for the next several years, actually.
Well, Jeff, as the great Frank Holmes always talks about, there's both the fear trade and the love trade with gold. And when we have the recent holiday of Diwali over in India and the Asian holiday and seasonal buying, do you see that shaping up to give any more demand to the precious metals? And how does that factor in with the fear trade?
I didn't see a tremendous increase in gold demand for Diwali this year. I mean, it was obviously earlier than usual, but I didn't see anything remarkable. But, you know, clearly that's there. The Chinese and Southeast Asian people who look at the Lunar New Year as a big buying opportunity, there is some interest there. There is some interest in precious metals, I guess you would say more out of fear than love, because of economic conditions within China and, you know, in the real estate market and also political conditions. You're seeing some increase in investment demand there, and that's probably going to continue. And then if you go away from Asia, you can talk about the fear and the love trades. You know, I mean, we look at the various things that stimulate investment demand, and a lot of it has been safe haven buying, portfolio diversification, currency hedge buying, but now, last week, all of a sudden, you saw a surge of what I guess you would call fear buying, which was based on the high PPI and CPI reports for October that were released during the past week by the United States BLS.
Jeff, let's also talk about some of the gold and silver inventories. We're definitely going to get into inflation, some of the economic data, but still focused on gold and silver. You've stated the gold and silver inventories are close to record highs. What are you seeing here? Why does this matter for investors?
I got called on the carpet by someone. Look, gold and silver market inventories are at record highs. And for gold, it's probably record highs, you know, because investors don't sell their gold, they just accumulate it over time. But you're seeing record high levels of gold and silver stored in London and also in New York in reported market inventories and in China, too. So there's ample silver and gold out there to meet this investment demand. You know, and you're seeing some people who are saying, oh, well, there's not enough silver. And, you know, I've heard claims that the U.S. Mint isn't even making silver coins. But the reality is that they're making more silver coins than they have for several years. I think that the production and sales of silver coins by the U.S. Mint is probably the highest level since 2016 this year. And it's definitely up from last year. So it's not a matter that they can't get the silver. That, you know, there's plenty of silver around. The U.S. Mint has had some issues with quality control on their blanks. But even in the face of that, you know, U.S. Silver Eagle coin sales through October were up 16-17% from a year ago, and they were double what they were in 2018-2019. So, you know, there's ample metal to meet investment demand, and investors are taking advantage of that.
Yeah, great point, Jeff. And a lot of times investors conflate the problems that the mints have getting the blanks with, hey, we're out of silver, which is not really the case at all. We have got plenty of silver. It's just sometimes some supply bottlenecks along the way. But let's shift it over into the inflation news that we got this last week. The CPI number came in at 6.2%, so running hotter than it was the month before, and really a lot higher than that 2% inflation the Fed said they wanted for about a year or two. They wanted to see that higher inflation. They wanted it to run hot. Well, it's running hot now, and the markets responded. We've seen a little bit of a boost in the gold and silver prices as a result. People have filtered in. We've got the taper underway from the Fed. What do you make of it all, Jeff?
Well, you know, inflation, the inflation data for October was much higher than we thought, and it was much more problematic than we've seen before. You know, we've seen higher inflation figures really for the last year over the course, you know, starting probably around February, March, April of this year. You've seen very high inflation numbers, but the inflation, the headline inflation and even the headline inflation figures that we've seen have been primarily pushed by petroleum-based energy products and used cars. Those things were running 40% higher year over year from, say, March through June or July, through June. July, August, September, they came off. But you saw relatively, you saw some increases in the prices of other things year over year, but you're measuring against 2020 when, you know, for example, no one was driving, so gasoline prices were lower. But, you know, you were watching earlier this year in the summer, in the second and third quarters, you were watching inflation that was driven by those two major factors, primarily. And if you look at the October data, prices were higher across the board, pretty much. You know, and so you saw much more inflationary pressures. That's a combination of increased demand and supply problems. And on the increased demand, people don't realize, you know, for example, they talk about the backup of ships wanting to offload in Long Beach City and Los Angeles, and they don't realize that, you know, U.S. imports are up like 27% from 2019 levels. Yeah, it's not that we've seen a recovery in demand of by U.S. consumers and corporations. We have seen an enormous expansion. And that expansion was probably occurring already in 2019. It was interrupted by the pandemic and the lockdown. But now that rise in demand for goods and services has skyrocketed.
All right, Jeff, unfortunately, I have to cut you off there. We're out of time for this segment on the radio, but we're having you back on, and we're going to continue to chat a little bit of inflation, but then also move into what's going on and more the stock side of things for the gold market. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to chat with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. And Jeff, before we get off of this inflation point, I do just want to ask you one other question. I know that there's this unlimited debate whether transitory, just what time frame even the Fed was referring to, what transitory means, because quite frankly, it's open to interpretation what the definition time frame wise of transitory is. Plus, man, oh man, we hear so much about this supply chain issue. I've gotten tired of hearing about it because it seems like everybody is using it as an excuse. No matter what store you go into, it's almost a fallback excuse now for everybody. But the other side of the equation here that you outlined is that the consumer, right? That there's two sides to an inflation story. It's the supply side, which you can have shocks on the supply side that impacts inflation. But you also need that demand. People need to be buying products, and I'm seeing it around Vancouver. I'm seeing it in other places, too, is that the consumer is still out there purchasing goods. I realize it's maybe not everybody, but there is still a what seems to be strong consumer base. What is this predicated on in your eyes, Jeff? Is it because everyone was locked down for, let's say, around a year, and now they have all this built-up demand? Was it also because the government was putting money into the bank accounts of individuals? What has led to this really explosion in the demand side of that equation?
Yeah, like I said, I think that, you know, possibly the demand increases were coiling up to rise sharply already in 2019, and it was kind of abrogated. But yeah, one of the major factors is because of the lockdown, there were any number of people who continued to A, earn money, and B, get a lot of money from the federal government, not just the United States, but around the world. You had a lot of government payments and income support programs that gave people a lot of money at a time when they couldn't spend it. Yeah, they weren't allowed to go out and eat. They weren't allowed to go out and shop. Stores were closed down. They didn't do traveling. You know, the incidence of driving, let alone aircraft and railroads and vacation taking and business travel, all of that contracted sharply at a time when there was a lot of money coming into people and they are spending it.
All right, Jeff, we're going to leave the inflation debate, I guess, behind us now, but undoubtedly we will be talking about that as we transition into next year. I do want to shift the focus into some of the news that's come out of the resource sector in terms of M&As. Over the last three Mondays, we have seen deals and some fairly big deals, the largest being Newcrest takeover of Pretium. That's $2.8 billion U.S. We also saw Gold Star Resources taken over by a Chinese company. Caliber took over Fiore. What's your takeaway from some of this M&A that we're seeing more in the larger and mid-tier miners?
Yeah, well, I think what you're seeing are several things. One is that, you know, the larger mining companies constantly have to look for replacement reserves and resources. And they haven't done a particularly great job in exploration and discovery. So the solution is buying reserves and resources by buying mid-tier companies. You know, Pretium is a fabulous company. It really was fabulously well managed. They built Brucejack from, you know, from pasture land through permitting to construction to operation in an incredibly short period of time, given, you know, what happens with mining construction these days. They have an enormous mine with tremendous reserves and resources and low costs. They're a perfect addition to a company like Newcrest. They will lower the average cost and boost reserves and resources. So that's a really good one. And you're going to see more of those things because the majors really need to find reserves and resources, and they're now finding it through their exploration projects, not because the metal's not there, but because of the structural issues confronting modern day exploration, mining exploration. So you're going to see more M&A. And, you know, one of the things that we've picked up is, yes, the Chinese government has been saying to the Chinese industry, gold mining industry and mining and metals mining industry for some years, you guys really need to do a better job in finding and investing in attractive offshore properties. And you're seeing now this year a reiteration with emphasis of that stricture. You know, get out there and find good properties and invest in them. So I think that there's going to be increased competition in the M&A area, and it's one of the things that's going to happen.
Well, Jeff, just along this topic of M&A, we've heard from a couple different newsletter writers and analysts and people we bring on the show that this is what we need to do to attract generalists to this industry, is have these companies bulk up in size. So whether it's the Barrick Randgold or the Newmont Gold Corp or this Kirkland Lake Agnico Eagle, even this one with the Pretium and Newcrest, do you think it's going to make a difference that these companies get bigger where they actually get picked up by institutional funds, or do you think it's going to move the needle with the generalist investors?
I don't think it's going to move the needle. You know, I think the entire gold mining industry, you know, like the top 10, 20 companies, gold mining companies in the world could merge, and they'd still be too small for the largest asset management companies. And the largest asset management companies have their own problems. And, you know, part of the problem, I mean, we have a list of like six issues that are causing institutional investors to not invest in mining. And one or two of them have to do with mining. And the others have to do with changes within the institutional investment market that have nothing to do with mining and everything to do with moving away from asset management companies having analysts and portfolio managers study companies and invest in individual companies. They're moving away from that, and they're moving toward AI-generated funds, you know, indexed ETF funds, indexed funds that actually have been outperforming the performance of humanly managed funds at a lower cost for the fund management companies. And those things are nothing that have to do with mining and nothing that the mining industry can do to change, but they are going to continue to cause institutional investment into the mining industry to be distracted and contracting. So I don't think bulking up the companies will not boost institutional investing. I think, you know, really what you need to do is you know, work on lowering your costs and building your reserves and resources and having a well-operated company. And that will attract smaller funds and institutional investors and individual investors and family offices who are interested in profitable companies as opposed to large companies.
Okay, final question before I get you out of here, Jeff. What matters for precious metals investors moving into 2022?
I think one of the things that's going to matter, we talked about this, is, you look at that list of things. Inflation is going to be problematic going into 2022, but probably will wane as the year progresses. Interest rates will rise, but they're not going to rise so much that they're going to be problematic. Currency rates, the dollar will probably be relatively strong compared to what a lot of people expect. I think the big scary thing is going to be politics. Is it domestic U.S. politics, domestic politics in other countries, including some countries that other people think of as being sort of homogenous and stable? I think you're going to see a lot of domestic political unrest in major economies and nations. And then you're going to see increased tensions among countries and reduced cooperation among countries at the same time that you still have this massive growth in government deficits and private debt. Borrowing leading to ever larger debt. We all look at the U.S. Treasury's debt, but the reality is that debt has been growing for corporations, for private individuals, and for all governments. And that is going to continue to hang over the economy and the financial markets throughout 2022 and probably for a couple of years after that, at least.
All right, Jeff, we're wrapping it up here. Always interesting to get your thoughts. I appreciate you spending some time with us on this weekend show. If you're interested in more of what the CPM Group does, you can visit their website, cpmgroup.com. I'll also post a link on that weekend show posting. Everybody, thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. Again, please go back through the week on our website, kereport.com. Listen to all those company interviews and daily editorials that we recorded and posted throughout the week. We'll be back with you all next week. I hope you all have a very great weekend. Jeff, again, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment. You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.